Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 through verse 32. Continue our journey through the book of Matthew, and we are at chapter 5, verse 27 today. This is reading of the God's Word. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It was said, whoever sends his wife away, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except for the reason of unchastity, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you will bless the preaching of your word. You will bless your people who are hearing your word. Let us hear your loving voice through your word, telling us what your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Let us meet your Son through your word, and let us have sweet fellowship with him as we hear your word. We pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The new era, the new age has begun. The kingdom of God has come, and her king has begun his reign. And he proclaims the gospel of the kingdom. He preaches the perfect righteousness, the righteousness that surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees. He shows us the reality of our eternal kingdom, the reality of heaven. Verse 27 and 28, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Just because you did not commit adultery physically, do not think that you have obeyed God's will. Yes, to the scribes and Pharisees, that was all that was needed. As long as you did not commit adultery physically, you are accepted as someone who did not commit adultery. But now the new heart that God has been promising, that heart has been given, and the law of God is written on our hearts. The new era has begun. The heaven has begun, and higher standard is demanded. Everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. The issue is the heart. Mark chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. All sexual relationships that are outside of your own wife or own husband are prohibited by God. All sexual desires must be satisfied within the marriage with one wife or one husband. One is able to be naked without shame only in front of one's own wife or husband. We must not commit adultery, not even in our hearts. God really hates this sin. In the Old Testament, whoever committed this sin, well, physically committed, because in the Old Testament, Moses could not prosecute somebody just thinking about this in their hearts. Anyway, in the Old Testament, whoever committed this sin was stoned to death. This is clear indication how much God hates this sin. Verse 29, verse 30, if your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. Very harsh words from our Lord. But he is making a point. And of course, we are not to take this literally. For even if we tear out our eyes, we will still commit adultery in our hearts. What is emphasized here is the importance of putting sins to death. Romans chapter 8 verse 13 says, for if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Colossians chapter 3 verse 5a, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire. Let me ask you, brothers and sisters, maybe you could ask this to yourselves. In our lives, how many things we must tear out and cut off? All those things that makes you sin. Whatever makes you sin. Whether it is our relationship to somebody. Oh yeah, some people, they just make you sin. Or whether it is our job that makes us sin. Whether it is our thoughts, whatever it might be, we must tear it out and cut it off and throw them from us. Do you get his point? We must put to death the deeds of our sinful desires. We must realize that those things we have crucified with Christ on that cross. the citizens of this kingdom. We do not think it is enough just not doing these things physically. We must stop. We cannot be lazy in these things. So casual. Verse 31 and 32, it was said, whoever sends his wife away, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that anyone, everyone, who divorces his wife except for the reason of unchastity, or NIV says marital unfaithfulness, makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Whoever sends his wife away, let him give her a certificate of divorce. Now this is from Deuteronomy chapter 24. So let us go there together so that we may understand what Jesus Christ is trying to tell us here. Deuteronomy chapter 24. And I will read you from verse 1 all the way to verse 4. When a man takes a wife and marries her, and it happens that she finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some indecency in her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out from his house, and she leaves his house and goes and becomes another man's wife. And if the latter husband turns against her and writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house, or if the latter husband dies who took her to be his wife, then her former husband who sent her away is not allowed to take her again to be his wife, since she has been defiled. For that is an abomination before the Lord. And you shall not bring sin on the land which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance. And this verse, this passage in Deuteronomy, was very much misused. This command was given for what reason? And this passage is not about divorce, you know, right, your right to divorce. You know this phrase, that he has found some indecency in her? Some people in the Old Testament, in Israel, they took it as if she, let's say, burned a dinner. And it will fit this description according to them. So they could now divorce her. But why was this command given? Why was a divorce allowed in this way? Well, Jesus answers in Matthew chapter 19. Let's go there together. Chapter 19 of Matthew. And of course, that indecency is not talking about burnt dinner or things like that, but people were using it like that. But let's read what Jesus says in Matthew 19, verse 3. Some Pharisees came to Jesus, testing him and asking, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason at all? Why are they asking it this way? Because they know what Jesus will say, and they know, and they thought what the law of God says. They misunderstood. But verse 4, And he answered and said, Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? And said, For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. They said to him, Why then did Moses command to give her a certificate of divorce and sent her away? Aha, we got him. Verse 8, he said to them, Because of your hardness of heart, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it has not been this way. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for immorality and marries another woman commits adultery. It was because of the hardness of men. It was to protect the woman. Because sinful men will misuse God's law. And these kind of laws were needed to protect the woman. But understand, Jesus says that it was not like this from the beginning. Again, the better age has come. The new heart governed by Holy Spirit has given. Divorce is not the will of God. Well, only one exception, but that is an exception. Adultery. And you are not allowed to remarry unless your divorce was a result of your wife's or your husband's unfaithfulness. If you divorce, well, that is sin, but if you remarry, that is also sin. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, verse 2. For the married woman is bound by law to her husband while he is living. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law concerning the husband. So then, if while her husband is living, she is joined to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is not an adulteress, though she is joined to another man. So your husband, if you die, don't be sad if your wife marries again. It's allowed. But my point is this. When does a marriage end? A marriage ends only when the wife or the husband dies. That's only when marriage ends. First Corinthians chapter 7, verse 39 and 48, wife is bound as long as her husband lives, but if her husband is dead, she is free to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord, meaning only to Christian. But in my opinion, Paul says, she is happier if she remains as she is. And I think that I also have the Spirit of God. God hates divorce. Malachi chapter 2 verse 16a says, God says, For I hate divorce, says the Lord. Marriage is a creation ordinance of God. It is instituted by God from the very beginning. Genesis chapter 1 verse 27 and 28 says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And this is to be accomplished by marriage between a man and a woman. God created man and woman. From the very beginning, God created Adam and Eve as a husband and a wife. He did not just create a male and female and somehow they got together and they got married. No, from the very beginning, God created Adam as husband. And God created Eve as wife. God did not create two men or two women. And I don't think we need to get into this. Homosexuality is sin. Romans chapter 1. Let's just read that passage and let that settle the matter. Romans chapter 1 verse 24. Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies will be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their woman exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men, committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. Now, after you read that passage, how can anybody say that God allows homosexuality? I do not know. Unless the Bible has changed, homosexuality is sin. It's not accepted way of living. Well, I should say not accepted to Christians. But remember, brothers and sisters, we must love homosexuals. We hate their sins, but we must love them. They are just like all of us who are sinners. They sin those sins, but we sin other sins. And in God's eyes, they are sins that deserve the eternal punishment of hell. They need, and also we need, to hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So think of them just like any other people who are not Christian. They need to hear the gospel. And if a homosexual comes to our church, he should be welcomed to hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But it is sin. And he needs to change, or she needs to change. The marriage is until death. I don't love him anymore. I don't love her anymore. It's not a valid reason for a divorce. He makes me miserable. She makes me miserable. It's not a valid reason for a divorce. Irreconcilable difference is not a valid reason for a divorce. The world government allows it, but God does not. Even when you feel you cannot work things out with your husband or wife, you must trust God and seek His blessing, seek His grace. We must obey our God. God is the only hope of our marriage. Don't even think about it. It's not an option. But here, I must say something before we move on. Yeah, that's why, you know, my sermon gets longer and longer, but I have to say this. You single people, the people who became singles or single people, do not think you are not blessed. And we must never look at them with pity. You know, some people will say, oh, you're like 30-something and, oh, how sad, you're not married yet. Go to 1 Corinthians. Verse 1. Now concerning the things about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Meaning it is good for a man not to marry. But because of immoralities, each man is to have his own wife, and each woman is to have her own husband. This does not mean that that is the only reason why we get married, no. But in this context, that is so. Verse 8. But I say to the unmarried and to widows that it is good for them if they remain even as I. It is good for them if they don't get married. Verse 9. But if they do not have self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Verse 28. But if you marry, you have not sinned. Of course not. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Yet, such will have trouble in this life, and I am trying to spare you. Verse 32. But I want you to be free from concern. One who is unmarried is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. Verse 34, and his interests are divided. The woman who is unmarried and the virgin is concerned about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and spirit. But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. This I say for your own benefit. So, of course, if you want to get married, that's fine. That's not my point. My point is, don't look at the person who is not married as if something is wrong with them. They are the ones who should look at married people with some pity. Understand, brothers and sisters, we do not follow the patterns of this world. It's so amazing. I see some Christians, especially older people, looking at single people, and they just think that there's something wrong with that people because they're not married, even though they're, you know, like 28, 30, 34. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Does God, do you think God sees them as if there's something wrong with them? You should not do that either. It is so amazing how these things are so reversed. Because even people who go to church, they follow the world. Their thought, the way of thinking is dominated by the principles of this world. It is just amazing. Anyway, I thought I had to say that. But let's go on. Then why are adultery and divorce so bad? Why is it so bad? Because of what a marriage witnesses. Isaiah 54 verse 5a says, "For your husband is your maker, whose name is the Lord of hosts." God is our husband. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 22. Wives, be subject to your own husband as to the Lord. Why the wives have to obey the husband? Because husband represents Jesus Christ and the wife represents the church. So you are wives, you are to obey him as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church. Look at what Paul is doing, is comparing and telling us why wives must obey husbands. Because there's purpose for that. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church. He himself being the savior of the body, but as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husband in everything. 25, husbands, love your wife just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for us. And verse 31. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife and the two shall become one flesh. Now, as you know, this verse is from Genesis chapter 2. Then he says that, then he goes on to verse 32, says this mystery is great. What mystery? The mystery that we read in verse 31. Man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife. And the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Go to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 verse 20. The man gave names to all the cattle and the birds of the sky and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." Out of Adam's rib, God fashions a woman, his wife. That's why when Adam sees Eve, he says what? This is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. What does that mean? It means she is my body. She is my body. Yes. What is God trying to show us even from Genesis 2? The church is Jesus' body. Eve is Adam's body. That's why Eve is his wife. And if church is Jesus' body, then church is Jesus' wife. Jesus is eternal husband of the church. Genesis 2:21, So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. Deep sleep. In the Bible, this sleep, deep sleep, is a picture of death. So what you see here is a wife is created through husband's death. This points to what Jesus Christ does to make us, all of us, his bride. Because of his death on the cross, you and I have become his wife. And Genesis 2:18 says, then the Lord God said, no, yes. Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable to him. Helper or server. And you probably, ladies going, man, how come always, you know, female, they're just, sounds like they're subordinate, you know. But understand the purpose. What God is really doing. Wife is a server. Why? Because church is to serve Jesus Christ. Because church is his wife. You wives are called to witness that while you live here on earth. But when we go to heaven, not just you wives, but husbands too, we all become his wife, his helper, his server. But time that you live here on earth, you have purpose to witness the reality of heaven. And through our marriage, we must witness this reality. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. This is exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. He left his father and became one spirit with us. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. Or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For he says, the two shall become one flesh. So if you join a prostitute, then you become one flesh with her. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. So understand what God is doing here. Even becoming one flesh is pointing to heavenly reality that we become one spirit with Jesus Christ. We are united to Christ. He unites to us so that we may become one spirit. Jesus left his father and united himself to his wife, the church, so that two can be one spirit. Do you understand? That is the purpose of marriage, to witness that. To witness that heavenly, eternal reality through marriage. That is the purpose. You wives and you husbands, you must love Christ more than your wife and your husbands. Otherwise, you're not fulfilling the purpose of your marriage. Ah, who cares about God, right? I love Him. I love her. That's all matters, right? Yeah, because they love one another so much, so many of them divorces. Huh? So many of them divorce. Because they just don't get it. They don't understand the purpose of marriage. Divorce and adultery are flat out rejecting and refusing and attacking this will of God. But brothers and sisters, we are all adulterers. Not only that, in spiritual sense, we have betrayed our true husband, our God, and play with another man, sin, Satan, and this world. This is how we are. Do you remember? God is our husband, but we betrayed our husband. We're playing with another man, Satan himself, this world. We're playing with sin. Jeremiah chapter 3. Verse 7. I thought, God is saying, after she has done all these things, she will return to me. But she did not return, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. He's talking about Israel. You remember Israel had become two nations, northern kingdom, Israel, southern kingdom, Judah. So he's talking about the northern kingdom. And God says, after she did all this prostituting, that she will return to me. But she and Judah, her sister, God is describing Judah as her sister, saw it. And I saw that for all the adulteries of faithless Israel, I had sent her away and given her a writ of divorce, certificate of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah did not fear. But she went and was a harlot also. Because of the lightness of her harlotry, she polluted the land with committed adultery with stones and trees. Adulteries with stones and trees. What is he talking about? Stones and trees. Things that are used to make idols. Worshipping other God. God calls it adultery. Harlotry. Verse 9, verse 10, yet in spite of all this, her treacherous sister Judah did not return to me with all her heart, but rather in deception, declares the Lord. And the Lord said to me, faithless Israel has proved herself more righteous than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return faithless Israel, declares the Lord. I will not look upon you in anger, for I am gracious, declares the Lord. I will not be angry forever, only acknowledge your iniquity, that you have transgressed against the Lord your God and have scattered your favors to the strangers under every green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice, declares the Lord. Brothers and sisters, that is our history. Do you know what gospel is? We could describe gospel in many ways, but this is one way. Gospel is this, that God created us as his wife, but we have betrayed our husband. We have committed adultery against our God. We played with another man, this world. But God, at that point, God is able to lawfully abandon us because we have committed adultery. But the gospel continues, but God loved us to the end. Even though we became prostitutes, he still loved us. And he came as a man to marry us. But because we're so filthy, he had to die on that cross, and with his blood, he has to cleanse us. And we didn't have this beautiful wedding garment. So he lived that perfect righteous life. So his righteousness, he gave to us as a wedding garment. And we're washed, and we are wearing this beautiful, beautiful wedding dress. And he marries us forever and ever. And that marriage is perfect marriage, loving one another forever and ever. And we live in his house, heaven, happily ever after, without any more divorce, any more adultery. That is what the gospel is all about. That was shown through Hosea, prophet Hosea. And there, let me just read a couple of verses for you. Hosea chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. It says, I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in loving kindness and in compassion, and I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, then you will know the Lord. Hosea, the prophet, wife had become a prostitute, and God tells him to go marry her. But marrying a prostitute, this is even against his law. But he does that to show us what God himself will do for us in Jesus Christ. Bible is a love story. It tells us how the true husband, God, loves his wife, the church, who have betrayed him. But he loves this church, his wife, to the end. Brothers and sisters, you have already married Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? And whenever you follow the patterns of this world, understand what you're doing. Can you divorce your husband, Jesus Christ? Brothers and sisters, can you divorce him? Will you or want you divorce him? We must love him forever and ever. We are to witness that reality through our marriage without adultery and divorces. The true marriage, there's only one true marriage, and that is marriage between God and the church. Eternal marriage. Forever marriage. Because your marriage here on earth doesn't last. It ends. In heaven, your husband is not your husband. Your wife is not your wife. We only have one husband forever and ever. And together as a church, we are his wife. Even loving your husband, earthly husband, is so that you could love the true husband, Jesus Christ. Because you loving your earthly husband has nothing to do with you loving your true husband, Jesus Christ, then that love is sin. This eternal marriage, God and the church, even our sins cannot annul this marriage. Our husband will never leave us. Our husband will never forsake us. Our husband, the true husband, will never abandon us. And we have married him already. And how can we commit adultery in our hearts? How can we commit adultery against this husband? You and I, we look at somebody who commit adultery and we put our fingers at him and, oh, shame, shame, shame. What about you? How many times you commit adultery against your true husband, God? Every single day. This is not our life. Should never be like this. Everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. When we read this, we're like, uh-oh. Because we are not confident to obey this, to not do this. That's why the gospel is written for you. When you look at King David, who followed after God, God even acknowledged that. Still he committed adultery and murder. It shows that we are not able. But God is able. You and I have already become God's faithful wife in Jesus Christ. Do you understand, brothers and sisters? You have already become faithful wife in Jesus Christ. And you must, I must witness that reality that Christ has already accomplished for us. Understanding who we have become. This is what we're talking about. You are a faithful wife of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5 verse 25 says, husbands, love your wife just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 2, Paul describes his ministry like this, for I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I betrothed you to one husband, so that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin. Do you understand? That is the ministry of the church. That is the ministry of this church, to present you to our one husband as a pure virgin. And how are we to do that? Well, Ephesians passage says, it's by washing with the word, God's word. If you want to live as that faithful wife of our husband, Jesus Christ, then you better take this word, studying and hearing this word very, very seriously. Through the word of God, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, there is a wedding in heaven. A beautiful wedding, and it is your wedding. God, Our Lord Jesus Christ is the husband, and the church, you and me, are His bride. And this marriage is eternal. There in the glorious place, we as the perfect, faithful wife of God who will never commit adultery will live with our eternal husband who will never forsake us. There is no divorce in heaven. There is no adultery in this marriage. Only the perfect marriage, perfect love, perfect joy and happiness. And this has been already become our reality. And we must witness. Jesus and you and I, we have united and become one spirit. And whatever that God has joined together, let no one separate. It is our joy to witness this reality through our lives and through our marriage. Therefore, you are to be perfect, God says, as your Heavenly Father is perfect. And that is what Jesus is speaking of. Our reality of heaven. How in Him, you and I have already become faithful wives. Or I should say, wife of God. Understand who you are and live that life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you even though we're so sinful and filthy. You loved us from the very beginning, and you never stopped loving us. You wanted to be with us forever and ever. So you came, and you died for us. You lived that perfect righteous life for us, so that our filth can be cleansed. So that we may have the beautiful wedding garment. Now we're married. Our faithful husband. Making us faithful wife. But spiritually, you have already made us faithful wife. Let us witness that reality in our lives. Through our marriages. Bless us, bless your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.